Denise Levitoff writes, "The bare trees have made up their seed bundles. They are ready now. They're ready to play dead for a while. I, human, have not as yet devised how to obtain such privilege. Their spring will find them rested. I and my kind battle a wakeful way to ours." It is the dark time. Blessed be. The harvest has been gathered in, and the earth lies fallow, resting, resting in the dark. We, on the other hand, simply flip the light switch and keep on going. We've become creatures of the light, no longer bound to the long, dark nights of winter. But I often wonder at what cost. We, like the dark, bare trees, need the dark. We all need time when we can play dead for a while, or at least hibernate. But all too often, we must battle our wakeful ways to take time out, to rest. Mark Twain put it this way, "We hurry, which is well, but when the day's work is done, we go on thinking of losses and gains. We plan for the morrow. We even carry our business cares to bed with us and toss and worry over them when we ought to be restoring our racked bodies and brains with sleep. When an acre of ground is produced long and well, we let it lie fallow and rest for a season. When a razor has seen long service and refuses to hold an edge, the barber lays it away for a few weeks, and the edge comes back of its own accord." Imagine, did you know that? No, doesn't happen? I don't know. We bestow thoughtful care upon inanimate objects, apparently, but not as much for ourselves. What a robust people, what a nation of thinkers we might be if we would only lay ourselves on a shelf occasionally and renew our edges. The long, dark nights of winter are nature's way of saying we need to lay ourselves on a shelf for a while. We need a self-imposed time out, a time out of time. A time to slow down and pay attention to what's going on inside, in here, in our interior, in the dark, rather than continuing to hurry on in the light. Dominican scholar Matthew Fox suggests that technology provides us with too much light. Light provides us with images from outside ourselves. As long as the lights are on and we're bombarded with images, especially from what we read and what we see on TV and the internet, the more images we take in from the outside, the more programmed we become. We lose the ability to tap into the darkness, the divine within, the source of all creation that connects us to all beings, that which sparks an inner light. This inner light is the source of renewal that we tap when we rest in the dark. Our ancestors sought out the mysteries of the darkness. Caves were sacred sites into which human beings could descend in search of the knowledge that lay in the darkness in the great womb of the earth. Goddess theologian Carol Christ has made several pilgrimages into the cave Etzkatinio in Crete. She says, "As I descended into the darkness, I was afraid, but I remembered that caves have been understood to be the womb of the Great Mother. My desire to find her compelled me to continue, and after descending three levels into the earth, I eased myself through a narrow passageway, and there was no more light. I extinguished my candle and sat in the silent blackness. Later, I learned to call the goddess Skitini, which means darkness or dark one. In my prayers, I often invoke Skitini and Fiatini, light or the light one, together. I begin to understand that light night and day, darkness and light, that like night and day, darkness and light are intertwined. Christ explains that we are in the process of relearning to embrace the darkness. There was a time when life was associated with the dark richness of the earth itself. And darkness was the source of the great mysteries, the cycles and seasons of life, death, and rebirth. Today, our culture associates darkness with blackness and death. We have separated death from the cycles of life and made it something to avoid and to fear, something to master. Our images of the holy, of God, of goddess, of all creation, life and death, and darkness and light have been transformed by our desire to master those things that we fear, those things that we don't and cannot understand. We have learned to associate darkness with fear and evil while equating light with hope and goodness, as Jackie James so eloquently captures in this excerpt from her meditation, "Dark and Light, Light and Dark." We have shaped language, she says, and we are shaped by it. In our culture, white is esteemed. It is heavenly, sunlight-like, clean, pure, immaculate, innocent, and beautiful. And at the same time, black is evil, wicked, gloomy, depressing, angry, sullen. Ascribing negative and positive values to black and white enhances the institutionalization of our culture's racism. The words and the images that we use matter greatly in the worldview that we create. Let us acknowledge the negative connotations of whiteness, she goes on. White things can be soft, vulnerable, pallid, and ashen. Light can be blinding, bleaching, enervating. Conversely, we must acknowledge that darkness has a redemptive character, that in darkness there is power and beauty. The dark nurtured and protected us before our birth. Welcome darkness. Don't be afraid of it or deny it. Darkness brings relief from the blinding sun, from the scorching heat, from exhausting labor. Night signals permission to rest, to be with our beloved ones, to conceive new life, to search our hearts, to remember our dreams. The dark of winter is a time of hibernation. Seeds grow in the dark, fertile earth. Welcoming the darkness requires letting go of the images that come to us from outside of ourselves and being still in the silence. The pagan teacher and priestess Starhawk calls us to create the darkness anew. She says we need to create the dark in a new image because the dark creates us. The darkness is a source of possibility in things yet unseen. If we limit our possibilities to what we can see, we will become those limitations. And as we seek to transcend our limitations by letting go, by taking time out and resting in the dark, we open ourselves to the possibility of being renewed and refreshed, even maybe recreated. We grow in the dark. There are some things we can only see in the dark. In many religious and cultural traditions, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, where the nights are especially long and cold this time of year, this is known as the season of light. We string lights from the trees and in our homes and businesses. We light candles and build beseeching fires to drive the dark away. We gather in the light of each other's homes and share the warmth of good food and fellowship. The exchange of gifts stems from the light of an open heart. But there's a difference between the light that illuminates and the light that blinds. A single candle can punctuate the darkness, actually accentuating it, making room for it. I'm reminded of our candle lighting ceremony on Christmas Eve. A time out of time when candlelight calls us to attend to the still silence of a long winter's night. A time pregnant in so many ways with possibility. And we look around the sanctuary and see people's faces, their souls illuminated by candlelight in the darkness. In writing about the candles of Hanukkah, the Jewish Code of Living states, one should not kindle the Hanukkah lights before the sun has finished setting, and should be careful that there is enough oil to last until there are no more feet in the marketplace. That's pretty profound, I think. Let the darkness come until all is silent, all is still. We've stopped doing business so we can be. This light, too, points to darkness. It symbolizes the light within that shines in the stillness of a winter's night where there are no more feet in the marketplace. The Hanukkah candles call us to turn aside from the blinding light that is the marketplace, the light outside ourselves, turning inward to see what's waiting there in the dark. And so I'd like to invite you in the coming weeks to be mindful of the possibilities waiting for you in the dark. Perhaps you might take some time out of time to turn out the lights, light a candle, and embrace what you see in the dark. It is there, my friends, that you will find rest. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.